Welcome to the Profit Business Cast, Canada's podcast for innovative entrepreneurs and executives. And brought to you by Bennett Gold LLP Chartered Accountants. Here is your host, Robert Gold.
Once again, from high atop the Business Cast Podcast Center in Toronto, live and in the morning, we're way off to the east. I can see Heart's Desire in Newfoundland. I'm Robert Gold, Managing Partner of Bennett Gold LLP, Chartered Accountants in Toronto. And this podcast is produced in partnership with Profit Magazine and ProfitGuide.com. Today, we're going to have some fun. Rahul Goel is here. He's the co-founder of Feedloop, P-H-E-E-D-L-O-O-P, Feedloop, Inc., Feedloop.com. Rahul, thank you for being a guest on the Profit Business Cast.
Thanks so much, Robert. Really glad to be here.
So I'm excited. There's stuff to talk about Feedloop. Your website says, finally, an event app that attendees love and actually use without downloading a thing. It powers and empowers conferences and organizers. Fascinating stuff. Feedloop with a PH, feedloop.com. Rahul, let's step back a bit. Tell us about yourself and really get into a little bit. What is Feedloop?
Yeah, sure. It's a little bit about myself. I'm a builder, constant learner. I love space. Fun-loving guy. I'm actually currently an undergraduate student wrapping up my final year at the University of Toronto's aerospace engineering program. So in many ways, your typical geeky student loving to play video games, math problems, all that. But I recently found a more entrepreneurial side to me, which led me to start my own conference and event technology business, as you mentioned, called Feedloop. And I taught myself how to build, how to code, and launch something which never imagined anyone would use. We went through our local accelerator program, and now we're selling really awesome attendee engagement tool for conferences, events, and meetings where people are able to engage with their speakers much better. Live polls, better sorts of feedback, incentivized engagement, connect with each other, all that kind of great stuff, merging two really distinct applications that exist in the event industry today and bringing it to one very simple platform. We're really excited about Feedloop and where we are right now as entrepreneurs.
Well, the fact that you are still a student in university and have an ongoing application business that appears to have global reach, well done in that regard, and I can't wait to hear about that. So to that, what inspired you and your co-founder, Phil Isaac, to create Feedloop, and what vision drives your success?
Phil Isaac is somebody I convinced to join after about building Feedloop for a couple of months. Great guy. And, you know, we've experienced a lot of different forms of inspiration along the way as the product has grown. Feedloop started really as a very, very simple tool to help speakers get more feedback at their conference talks by just incentivizing their audience. So when you go to a conference talk, normally you're looking to get slides, contact info, all that kind of stuff. So as soon as you leave feedback, you get to unlock slides, you get to unlock contact info, you get to enter raffles, and that dramatically increased the amount of feedback conference speakers would get. We've constantly been propelled by this desire to also learn more technical skills. You know, as engineers, that might be expected, and it's just such a thrill to build something from scratch without even knowing how to start. So that's always been a great inspiration. And our ultimate vision really is to create the simplest, most feature-rich, and most affordable way for conference and event organizers really to leverage interactive technology at their events to boost engagement and get people really excited.
But why event engagement? There was some penny must have dropped along the way where the two of you said, this is what we need to do to change the world.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it just kind of fell upon us. We didn't really wake up one morning and decide, hey, we want to do an event engagement. It's just something we started as a speaker feedback tool, and we noticed that we can have a much larger impact if we actually shift our business focus to the entire conference and not specifically on speakers. And as we dived into that segment of the market, we realized that, hey, there are a lot of cool applications out there, but they're just not getting the engagement that they should, and why not? So our whole focus has been on trying to figure out what are the problems today with those technologies, why aren't they driving engagement, and what can we do differently to boost that engagement? And that's been our mantra for the past couple of months, and we're doing everything we can to really bring that engagement level up, and that's what we're excited about.
So here's what I'm really curious about. Your background is aviation and aerospace. In fact, you're still a student of those sciences right now. What's the biggest business challenge you faced, given that you are an aviation person, a challenge that you did not see coming in business?
That's a funny question, and I get it often, and hands down, learning about the event industry and just how to sell products were some of the biggest challenges. They really don't teach you much of either of those things in class, let me tell you. The discipline you gain from studying something as rigorous as aerospace, it's definitely helped me not fear hard work, and being an entrepreneur is definitely a lot of hard work, and aside from the discipline mindset, there just aren't too many transferable skills, to be quite honest, and I guess that's expected, but the discipline and the rigor are definitely the most important things I could bring from my aerospace education so far, and I fundamentally feel that those mindsets and just hard work in general lead to success anywhere. So I'm really glad I have that background.
So it's interesting. Aerospace is your background. This application and event attendee management is something completely different than aerospace. Is this the future for you, Rahul, or are you going to find something with the Canadian Space Agency?
I'm really glad you asked me that question. I love what I'm doing. I really do. But long term, for me, event engagement is something I feel like I'll always be passionate about now. But it's not something I'd probably want to do for the next 10 to 15 years of my life. I'm really excited about making a dent in the aerospace industry as a Canadian, and I feel that I can bring my entrepreneurial skills to that level. So a lot of the things I'm developing as a person, as an entrepreneur, as a hopeful leader, will help me in the aerospace industry several years down the road, hopefully, where I can really make an impact as a Canadian in that industry. But ultimately, and as it's always been, aerospace has been my real passion and real dream, and I hope to pursue that.
So let's come back to Earth, if I can use that pun, if that's a pun.
Sure.
And when I take a look at the event business, other than a bunch of online registrations and maybe some archived digital events, it's a pretty low-tech industry, and yet your offering is so high-tech, there's not even a download. What are you seeing as the conflicts that you're having with your customers when you want to bring in super high tech? Granted, you make it look easy, but anything high tech is difficult for them.
That's also a really good question. I mean, things definitely look easy, and we have to try to look at it from a different lens. As engineers and as technical people, we have to realize, and we're constantly coming to that realization, that it just isn't that easy for everyone. It's really a polarized industry right now, because there are definitely some conference organizers and event organizers out there who are really, really well educated in the event technology space. I mean, it kind of started maybe 5 years ago or so when smartphones really took flight, and some conferences started adopting this technology, and it was just a really interesting thing to have. These days, people are just so busy, nobody has as much time anymore to just download apps just because they're cool. So we really have to find another way to engage these people. Sure, it is a low-tech industry with slower adoption rates, but we really think that through significant market education and giving people very simple, easy-to-use demonstrations where we train them and show them how to use these things most effectively and create a process where they start off with it, but then continually and gradually use and leverage more of the features on Feedloop, we're really helping bring that adoption rate up. But I think it's a challenge for everybody in our industry right now and an exciting one to meet.
So there are a lot of event service companies where they manage, they engage, they do online registrations, they record, they do all that stuff. You appear to be leaders in the field, at least to me. Are there barriers to entry for potential competitors that will keep them back and allow you to keep this lead?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are some really great competitors out there right now. One even down the road, which some people might have heard of, called Event Mobi. They're really great guys. We know them well. But in all honesty, the industry and every industry in the tech world changes so fast. And there are a lot of things that are changing. One of the biggest things that we've chosen to do is not to develop a native application. So when I say no downloads, I literally mean no downloads for anybody, because you just visit a website and you're able to engage in the exact same capacity without that barrier to entry. So what we're trying to do is ride the wave that we see coming ahead of time and trying to understand what are people going to be expecting 2 years from now that we can adapt to right now, adjust our tactics, and meet that demand early on. So the biggest thing being getting people onto our system without them downloading an application and doing a lot of the things that a lot of applications do today. So there's definitely a large competitive landscape with some great players, very large industry though. A lot of it is untapped and there's a lot of opportunities. So I wouldn't discourage anybody from actually trying to break into it also.
Well, you know, having mentioned Event Mobi, we actually spoke to their co-founder and CTO way back in February 2014. If anybody's looking for that episode, they can find that. And it's pretty interesting because we talked to him. The show was called Confessions of a Bootstrapper. So I think you can certainly relate to that. But having said what you just said, I'm curious as to what are the three biggest surprises you faced as Feedloop developed legs and started to grow?
The real first big surprise was that we actually developed something as students that people wanted to pay for. I mean, we never expected that. When the first dollar came in through the door, we were like, wow, this is just incredible. And we actually were hesitant initially, thinking the same thing when we were moving from the speaker feedback system to this event engagement tool. I guess this is going on to the second thing that surprised us, was that there would be room for us in the industry. What we didn't realize then was just how large the industry was and that there was a lot of room. Also, that there's still a lot of room to innovate. And I guess the third thing is just simply that as student entrepreneurs, as young entrepreneurs, we actually have the ability to start early and do something while still in school and potentially lay a groundwork for us as we graduate to maybe not look for jobs, but actually create a job of our own and do well and potentially get other people involved and be leaders as young entrepreneurs.
Well, I'm a firm believer that the growth and the success of the Canadian economy for the next 20, 30, 130 years is going to be the entrepreneur class. And if we start to get the entrepreneurial spirit bubbling up from the universities, bubbling up with young people like yourself that are taking these challenges, recognizing opportunities, Canada is the place to grow, that's for sure. If I ask you for the one single piece of advice that you would share with other entrepreneurs about launching, growing, or maintaining a new venture, what's the one thing that comes to mind?
I would say today, given the technological and entrepreneurial landscape, especially in Canada, it would be just start. I think every single person should have some sort of a side project or something going on in their mind that they want to make a reality. It's never been easier than it is today. It'll definitely become more and more easy, but the tools are available. The help is available. There's just so much going for us as young people and anybody, actually, to just start. So I fundamentally feel don't waste too much time trying to iron out your idea or anything. Just put it out there and get going, and you never know where it might go.
Now, being a young entrepreneur, still again in school, but with a successful venture, would that advice differ for younger versus an older, more seasoned business owner?
Not so much. I do feel that there might be some differences in the way they think. So just based on observation, it seems evident to me that younger people definitely don't fear risk as much. And we feel confident more and more that as young people, very early 20s, that we have the ability to make significant change in the world. We don't have to wait and we can get started right away. We are much more aware of the programs out there in Canada that actually support us. We've leveraged so many of them and we plan to do so. And that's why it's just so great to be here. And I would personally feel the same advice would apply to young versus old. In fact, maybe a little bit more strongly for older people who just maybe are not as aware as us about what's out there and the opportunities available by Canada and by the ecosystem around us. So my advice would not differ.
When you say you've levered some of the opportunities available, being presumably either Ontario or the federal government programs, are there programs, in fact, that you can specify for us that we can share?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it really started from our university program, which is government-funded and called the Entrepreneurship Hatchery. And it's just a fantastic place where they take an idea and transform it into a business. So we went through that program, got a bit of seed funding that really kicked us off, and that was just incredible validation and encouragement for us. Then we moved on and are currently located at Ryerson University's Digital Media Zone. This is a huge space at Yonge and Dundas where there are like 70 companies, all at different stages, some extremely successful and doing great things. And it's just awesome to be in this collaborative environment where there's just so many young entrepreneurs doing amazing things. And then a big thing coming up for us is funding. As we're looking for funding, there are a lot of government options out there available by the government which match funding, which help you reach your funding goals and just provide advice in general. So it's just great to be here and in Ontario and in Canada at this time.
Well, if we can spend the last couple of seconds on this show on funding and financing, have you hit any hurdles or barriers yet based on, one, your lack of experience, lack of wealth of your own, I imagine, or just your young age? What have been the barriers to money?
The biggest barrier has just been the lack of experience. So in our first couple of investment meetings, we literally had no idea what we were doing. And we had kind of a game plan going in. We read a lot online, talked to people, but it's just not the same. You go in and then you get asked hard questions, which you didn't prepare for, or don't know the answers to, and you make up answers. But it's just a process that you learn from. Most of the people we've talked to, angels or anyone, they're just super nice. And they're actually there to help you and watch you grow. They realize you're coming from a place where you might not have a ton of experience. They give you very valuable feedback. So I would definitely recommend anyone looking for funding to just try it. There are a lot of options out there, and there are a lot of people willing to help you, and you never know what might happen. But don't let experience or lack of experience there get in the way.
You know, and my final comment on that is that great homework to hit an investor meeting or to talk to, whether it's family or friends or angels, what have you, is watch episodes of Dragon's Den. Bear in mind, Dragon's Den is TV, but the questions that those guys ask are the right questions, and you have to be prepared to answer. Rahul Goyal, co-founder of Feedloop, P-H-E. Feedloop.com. Rahul, thank you for being a guest on the Profit Business Cast.
Thank you so much, Robert.
And until next time, I'm Robert Gold, Managing Partner of Benecold LLP, Chartered Accountants in Toronto. If you want to know what a great CA firm can do for you and the way we can bring discipline to your growth and success, check us out at benecold.ca. You can find other great episodes of the Profit Business Cast at profitguide.com. See you next time in the morning, everyone, and good night, Heart's Desire in Newfoundland.
You've been listening to the Profit Business Cast, Canada's business podcast, and brought to you by Benecold LLP, Chartered Accountants. From acceleration to succession, strategy to tax planning, there's a lot more through the door at bennettgold.ca.